But you see what he's saying here. Let me show you another one. 15 and verse 10, he says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Where is this doctrine that we've heard from every direction? Listen, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do the things which I command you. You can see that that doctrine was just a theology of men, you know. But first of all, to understand grace, that you can keep his commandments. Not because of your ability, but because of what he did on the cross. This is the great thing about, that's why it's called the good news. You can keep his commandments. You can obey him because of the reconciliation. He took your sins, reckon it done by faith. He took your sins, he put them on the cross. He took his righteousness, he put it on you. Paul said, it's no longer I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, he was living by faith. He was confessing that what the Bible said about him was true. And that is that he was now dead. At his baptism he died. And when he came up out of the water, Jesus now lived in him. The old man died, was buried, the new man came up, see. And so that profession of faith the world can't accept, and it's so foolish to the world. But this is the secret to God's power. The secret of God's power will cause you to be obedient to the Word of God. The secret to God's power is faith in what the Bible says about you. You've got to see yourself the way the Bible tells you to see yourself. If you can do that, you will have power. Manifestly, if you look at yourself the way you are now and you size yourself up right now, that's what you are manifesting. But that's not what the Bible tells you to see yourself as. That's our problem. We walk by sight. You know? If we walk by sight, that's all you're going to get. You know? Because you're walking the way the world does. But if you see, like Peter says, seeing that his divine power hath granted, past tense, unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of God. Seeing that his divine power hath granted. Do you know what he did on the cross? He gave you everything you needed, which is yours. You have to accept it by faith. You believe his divine power gave you everything that you need for life and godliness. See, people are begging God, begging God, begging God. All they got to do is read the Word and believe what it says. God didn't want you to beg him. You don't have to beg God. His Bible says that on the cross, reconciliation was made. People are wasting a lot of time. Not believing what the Bible says is already theirs. God's not a schizophrenic. You know, he's not going to say one thing in his Word and then manifest it in a different way in the world. You know, he wants you to accept. He wants you to be confident that he that began a good work in you will finish it under Jesus Christ. It's his work. Yeah, well, you can be good enough through faith in what Jesus gave to you on the cross. But meanwhile, let me say that faith without works is dead. See, some people's faith is not faith. Mentally acknowledging something doesn't mean you have faith. The devil believes in Christ. It doesn't save him, does it, you know? Mental acknowledgement is not what we're after. It's faith. And faith calls the things that be not as though they were. Faith does what Jesus said. He said, when you pray, believe you have received it, and you shall have it. It's very simple. It's so simple that a child can receive it. It was made that. It was designed that way. But worldly wisdom will block you from receiving it because you said it doesn't make sense. So what? See, God made it this way so that only those who received faith could receive the promise. It's very simple. Only those people who have faith will enter in. And faith is a gift of God. By grace are you saved through faith. That's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Not of your works, lest any man should boast. For in Christ Jesus were you created for good works. Not your works. See, there's two works he said there. Right? Not of works, lest any man should boast. For in Christ Jesus were you created for good works. So there's a difference there. Your works and God's works are two different. So do you see the conditional part here? The Bible says God hateth all workers of iniquity. Did you ever hear that God hated anybody? Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. And so, God created, is creating sons. We are in this process. It's called sanctification. It's called the manifestation of the sons of God. All this, God is doing to have fellowship with men. I mean, that's what his desire is to manifest sonship so that he can have fellowship. If you wanted to see that in Romans, that was in Romans 9, the one I quoted to you a few minutes ago. Romans chapter 9 and verse 13. Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. Said verse 11, for the children being not yet born, neither having done anything good or bad, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, and not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, even as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. You know, in Psalm, for instance, in Psalm 5, in verse 5, it says, thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Or Psalm 11 and 5, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. You find quite a few verses like that in the Bible. And we haven't been told that, you know, of course. That's not the traditions of men. But the manifestation of God's love is manifest as you obey his commandments. Why? Because God can't love sin. And in order for you to obey his commandments, there must be Christ-likeness born in you. Right? That's what he loves. God loves goodness. He don't love sin. He doesn't love sin. And so, have no fear. Just believe. The only difference between the person that's not chosen and the person that is chosen is faith. So believe. Right? People worry about, well, I wonder if I'm one of the elect. Well, believe. The Bible says, make your calling and election sure. Right? For if you do these things, you'll never stumble. And thus shall be richly supplied unto you the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, let's get back to this sonship, okay? 1 John chapter 3. You know, you get worried, well, am I doing enough? Well, listen, you can't worry and have faith at the same time. Did you know that? If you're anxious, you're not having faith, right? Don't worry about what you haven't done. Exercise faith, and you will do. I mean, that's where it comes from. People say, well, if I'm not doing good enough, I'll have to pick myself up by my bootstraps or something, you know? That's just about as silly, really. I mean, you have no ability to be anything but what you are unless something from the outside reaches in and changes you. You can only be what you are, right? And so the Holy Spirit reaches in and changes your heart, but he changes it through faith. You believing that you've been given something, the Bible says you've been given. It's real simple. It's free. Not by your works. Otherwise, you earned it. It's not grace, right? Well, 1 John 3 and verse 1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God, not the sons of God. King James is wrong because there's a different word there. The children of God. And such we are. And for this cause the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the children of God. And it's not yet made manifest what we shall be. We know that if he shall be manifested in us, he's talking about, right? We shall be like him. For we shall see him even as he is. And everyone that hath this hope set on him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So, if he is manifested, we will be like him, the Bible says. King James says, when he shall appear, talking about thinking that it was a physical coming, the translators put when it shall appear. But the received text, the Nestle's text, the numeric Bible, they all say it this way. If he shall be manifested, because it's not talking about his coming in the air. It's talking about his manifestation in us. If he shall be manifested, we'll be like him. Because we're going to see him as he is. What does it mean, see him as he is? Well, the Bible teaches us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, but we all with an unveiled face behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into that image. You see, you have to see the image before you can be transformed. You have to see the image in the mirror before you can be transformed. This is the secret of the gospel. You have to see the image. You have to see it as an accomplished fact. This is God telling us this now. This is not audacity, you know. God tells us to do this. You understand, for Christ to be manifested in you, you have to see him as he is. He says, if he shall come to be manifested, it's because you see him as he is. When you look into the Word, don't trust in religion, because there's no shortcuts. When you look in the Word and you become familiar with the face of Jesus, that's your face. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18 says, as we behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord, we are transformed into that image from glory to glory. You've got to accept that as your gift from God. Not because you're able to do that, because none of us are. Or because you're worthy, because none of us are. It's because that has been given to you through the reconciliation. That is your gift from God, you see. And if you behold him in the mirror, not some other Christ, Paul warned us about receiving another Christ and another spirit, which religion often does. See, what we want is this Jesus. If it's not this Jesus, then you're going to get the wrong, you're going to be manifesting the wrong image. The glory is the righteousness of Christ, the truth of Christ, his being, his presence. We'll look at that in a minute, okay? Let's look at that a little closer. But if you notice what he's saying here, everybody that has this hope on him purifies himself. How can we purify ourselves? It's easy. With the Word of God as your promise, you can do that. The Bible says, take up the sword of the Spirit, right? The shield of faith, sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, right? Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You have the authority to use the Word of God against your enemy, which is the old man, the flesh, for one thing, and the devil, you know, the world. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, having therefore these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Having therefore these promises, let us cleanse ourselves. This is the sword of the Spirit, you see. You have authority to purify yourself, because God promised you that authority. Having therefore these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Wow, that's a good promise, right? I thought we were supposed to pray to God to do that. No, the Bible don't say that. The Bible says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and the shield of faith, right? The helmet of salvation, right? Which is the knowledge that you have been delivered, the knowledge that you have been saved, you have been set free from the curse, the knowledge of what Jesus did on the cross. See, the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You've got to learn to think the way God tells you to think. The whole problem with the fall of man, and the whole, I imagine Mariel can tell you this, you know, the problem with everybody is the way they think. That's why they're in that situation. I mean, we're in this situation because of the way we think. Man fell away from God because of the way he thought, you know. And God says, don't add to his words, nor take away from his words, or the curses of the book are going to be upon you. See, the way out from under the curse is to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Change your mind. You've been thinking wrong. You think wrong. What we've got to think is the way God told us to think. And He told us how to think. He said, reckon yourself to be dead unto sin. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, consider it done. Reckon yourself to be dead unto sin. Romans chapter 6. You were, Romans chapter 6, made free from sin. Romans chapter 6. He said that. Do you think that? If you don't think that, you can't walk away from it. You'll never be able to give it up. I mean, I've talked to a lot of people. I just can't. Well, I says, you can't because you don't believe that God gave you the power to do it. You can't. It's true. You can't. Because you're not a believer. See, in the early church, they were called believers. Believers in what? Believers in the gospel. What was the gospel? You've been set free from sin. By the power of God, because of what Jesus did. See? A believer is not going to say, I just can't. You know what a believer is going to say? I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. That's what a believer is going to say. I can. Our attitude's got to change. You know, we're always negative about our ability. Our ability is nothing. But God's ability through us is total. We have authority. Jesus said, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loose in heaven. Concerning the circumstances around you, you will change them if you believe what this Bible tells you to say. I mean, what this Bible tells you to believe. If you think about yourself, the Bible tells you to think about yourself. It'll change everything. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the Bible says. You know? Think the way I tell you to think, in other words. If you speak as an oracle of God. In other words, speak in agreement with God. Don't take away from His words. And don't add to them. Otherwise, you have to live under the curse. That's what He says. You see. So it's very important for the manifestation of sonship to agree with God. And not to add to His words nor take away from His words. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10 says, talking about Christ, it says, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be marveled at in all them that believed, because our testimony unto you was believed in that day. How is Jesus going to come to be glorified in a group of people? He's telling you, because the testimony that we gave to you, that was the Thessalonians, back 1900 years ago, He said, because this testimony that we gave to you will be believed in that day. Jesus is going to be glorified in some people because they believed what the Bible said. He says, to be marveled at in all them that believed, because our testimony unto you was believed in that day. To which end, we also pray always for you, that our God may count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire of goodness and every work of faith with power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you. And you know what the word name means? It means nature. The Greek word for name, onoma, nature. It's His nature. That His nature would be glorified in you. His character would be glorified in you. Okay? And you in Him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So, sonship is going to be manifested because we believe the Word. We believe what the Word says. And, you know, you hear people say, and I've done it too, you know, I believe this Bible from cover to cover. But let me tell you, that's easier said than done. Your mind, the mind of the natural man is contrary to what's said here. Yeah. You have to read this and repent when you read this. And repent doesn't mean cry. Repent means metanoeo. It means change your mind. God just wants you to change your mind. When you read the Bible, change your mind. You've been thinking wrong. Change your mind. When you read it, accept what it says. Change your mind. It will deliver you. Jesus said you'll know the truth. The truth will set you free. Exercise faith in what it says, and you'll be set free. Religion does nothing. Religion is man's ideas about God. Except God's own ideas about God. I mean, why take somebody's opinion, you know? I mean, it's in there. It's for us, you know. Don't add to it and don't take away from it. You'll be blessed. Change your mind. Repent, you know, you'll be blessed. What you were saying a minute ago about the glory. Look in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4. Go back to verse 3. Let's read that too. It says, because people have an idea that the glory, you get the glory. I mean, I've been told that. You get the glory in the next life. That's where you get the glory. No, that's not what the Bible says. You know, you can't find in the Bible, let me say this, I've been reading it diligently for a long time, and you can't find in there where God comes and changes the soul. This is what Christians have the opinion that when God comes, He's going to take away your old dirty soul and give you a new... No, don't say that. It only says He's going to give you a new body. 1 Corinthians 5, Romans chapter 8. See, we're bearing the fruit here. That's why we're here, is to bear the fruit of Christ. The 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit that Jesus said that the righteous would bear has to be born on the earth. He don't give it to you in heaven. You get it here. This is our chance. We're running the race here, you see. For those who are faithful in that race and do bear fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold, He will give the new body to. But He didn't say He would give you a new soul in heaven. He said He would give you a new body. See, that makes it real easy for the people who just want to be satisfied where they are. Because, oh, one day God will come and change me. Well, He will. The gospel is pretty simple. But it's still real unacceptable to the natural mind. The gospel is real simple. Jesus gave you the gift of Himself, you know, freely. Believe that you have it. Believe that you have the ability of Christ. For His life is in you, you know. The gospel can be very simple, you know. We shouldn't make it hard. It's not hard. It's very simple. I still say it's not acceptable to the natural, the carnal mind, the fleshly mind. But it's very simple. It's made so that a child can receive it. Except you come as a child, you know. And a child trusts their father. They trust their parents, you know. Colossians 3 and 3 says, for you died. Now, he's saying this to some people that are somewhere between, twixt and between, right? Okay. Somewhere along the process. And he said, you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, when Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall you also with Him be manifested in glory. Okay? What is this glory? Well, we behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord. We're transformed into that same image from glory to glory. Where is that glory? Here or beyond? Yeah. Where is the glory? Here or on the other side?
Gotta be here.
Obviously, he's talking about here. And he says from glory to glory. And the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 talks about three different bodies that people are going to come with in the next life. He calls it a star glory, a moon glory, and a sun glory. So we come into Christ's likeness traveling through those three glories. See, if you die as a star glory, you get a star glory body. 1 Corinthians 15. You go back and read it. You probably never thought about it, but when you read it, you'll see what I'm talking about. Then you manifest the moon glory, then you manifest the sun glory. Star glory is when you're self-righteous. See, now you look at a star. Star's got its own glory, right? You see its glory shining from it, right? Okay. And the stars are many. There are many, many stars, right? And just like when we come to Christ, we're all separated because of self-righteousness. See, our righteousness is our glory. We're separated because of self-righteousness, okay? But the Bible says if we become united with Him in the likeness of His death, we shall also be of the resurrection. Think about it now. The stars have their own glory, self-righteousness. All right? But the moon's dead. And it's only one. All right? If we become united with Him in the likeness of His death, we shall also be of the resurrection. That's sun glory. So we go through three stages. We go through a self-righteous stage, a death stage, and a sun glory stage, which is the resurrection of Christ. Okay? So, if you've got Jesus, if you're looking at Jesus in the mirror, He says you're going to go through these three stages. from glory to glory. You're going to come into that stage, the Christ-likeness, the sun glory, you see. The last stage is sun glory. Okay? If you die in one of those three stages, you're going to get that kind of a body. I'll just let you go back and look at that, 1 Corinthians 15, okay? But right here he's saying, when Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested in us, is what he's talking about, then shall we also with him be manifested in glory. In this life, 2 Corinthians 4 and 11, I just want to prove to you that he's talking about this life. He's not talking about the next life. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll start in verse 10. 2 Corinthians 4 and 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our body. That's clear now, right? And if it's not clear, the next verse is very clear. It says, for we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, so that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Mortal flesh is not a new body. Okay? So God's purpose is the life of Jesus. Through suffering of death, the life of Jesus would be manifested in this body.
Is it like his resurrection life?
His resurrection life. That's sun glory, you know. You go, like I said, you go through death, you come to resurrection life, right? So, that's what he's talking about, the glory of Christ, is the righteousness of Christ. We put on Christ by putting on his righteousness. We put on the robes that the bride wears, the bright, fine, white linen. It's called the righteous acts of the saints. You know, we put on Christ by righteousness, okay? We manifest Christ through faith in what God has given us, okay? Okay, you know, the biggest temptation we have is to look in the mirror and see ourselves. And all the self-help people, they don't help at all because they teach you to look in the mirror and see yourself, you know? But the Bible says in James 1 and 21 that if you see your natural face in the mirror, that you will be a hearer of the word, but not a doer of the word. And the Bible says also in 1 Peter chapter 1 that if you lack any of these attributes of Christ, it's because you're nearsighted. That's in 2 Peter chapter 1. In verse 9, first he lifts all the attributes of Christ. Then in verse 9 he says, he that lacketh these things is blind, seeing only what is near, having forgotten the cleansing from his old sins. See, why would you want to look in the mirror and see you? Don't you remember you were cleansed from your old sins? That means the old man is dead. Don't look in the mirror and see the old man. He's dead. Look in the mirror and see Christ. See, he's saying, if you're lacking these attributes, it's because when you look in the mirror, you see yourself. This is the gospel. Wherefore, brethren, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you'll never stumble. But he's telling you, you can't do these things unless you look in the mirror and see Christ. You see that? That's the gospel. This is the good news. This is why it's free, too, you know? The good news. Look at Luke 6 and verse 40. The disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is perfected, shall be as his teacher. Now, this is Jesus saying this. He shall be as his teacher. In other words, you'll be able to walk and talk like Christ when you're matured. That's what perfected means, mature. When you're mature, you'll walk like he walked, talk like he talked, think like he thought. But if you don't believe you can be that, then you can't. And if you don't have an interest to be that, you can't. So, what I want to share with you now is a difference of reward. Because there is a difference of reward. We've been taught everybody gets the same reward, right? Contrary to the scriptures. Okay? Concerning sonship, let's look at John chapter 8. All right? I'm going to share this so it'll motivate you to get up and go on for God. You know? John chapter 8, verse 31. Now, Jesus therefore said to those Jews that had believed him. All right? That's the ones he's talking to, the ones that had believed him. If you abide in my word, then are you truly my disciples? So the question is, if we believe on Christ, are we now a disciple? The question is, if you are a Christian, are you a disciple? Because it's not what we've called Christians that's going to enter the kingdom, it's disciples that are going to enter the kingdom. Okay? Because a disciple is a mathetes, is a learner and a follower. That's what a disciple is, a learner and a follower. And you shall know the truth. Who did he say would know the truth? That's right. The ones that abided in his word would be disciples. And they would know the truth, and the truth would make them free. Who gets set free? Only disciples get set free. Does this maybe give you an understanding of why all Christians don't get set free? They answered unto him, "We're Abraham's seed. We've never been in bondage to any man. How do you say you shall be made free?" And Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, everyone that commits sin is the bondservant of sin. Everyone that committeth sin is the bondservant of sin. And the bondservant abideth not in the house forever. The Son abideth forever." See, sonship is eternal life. Bondservant is not eternal life. What if I'm a son by faith? Well, it's the same thing. You see, sonship is twofold. It's first of all imputed by faith. And second of all, it's manifested as we walk in that faith. See, so we receive it all by faith at the beginning. And if we abide in that faith and stay in that faith and walk in that faith, it will be being manifest in us. Sonship will be being manifested. Our hope is that we abide in that faith. And everyone that commits sin is the bondservant of sin. And the bondservant doesn't abide in the house forever. The bondservant doesn't abide in the house forever. The same thing, by the way, Paul said in Galatians chapter 4. If we read on towards the end, he said the same thing. The bondservant doesn't abide in the house forever. If you are a son, then be a son by faith and be walking in that faith as a disciple. You will be manifesting Christ. You have nothing to worry about. But I tell you what, you ain't got time to sit down on your haunches. You know, there's just as many time for that. Receive Christ by faith. Walk in Christ by faith. See Christ in the mirror. Accept that Christ lives in you. Accept it. Don't try to attain to Christ by your works, because that's the law. That's the way the law works, okay? You will do works, mighty works of God, if you walk by faith in him. Okay? The bondservant abideth not in the house forever. Okay? Let me prove that to you. Matthew 22. I'll show you a couple of verses. And let's start at verse... you remember the story in Matthew 22. It's... a marriage feast, right? And many were bidden to the marriage feast. And here's a man that came into the marriage feast in verse 11. And when the king came in to behold the guests, he saw there a man who had not on a wedding garment. What is the wedding garment? Revelation 19 and verse 9 says, "The righteous acts of the saints, the bride, the white, pure garment of the bride was the righteous acts of the saints." Bible says in Romans 13 and 14, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the lusts of the flesh." So there's a garment that we have to put on. Here's a man that didn't have it on. He was obviously a Christian, or he wouldn't have made it in to the marriage feast. But he made it into the marriage feast and he didn't have a wedding garment on. And verse 12 says, "And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said unto the servants, bind him hand and foot, and cast him out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. So the chosen got to stay. The called came, but didn't get to stay, right? In other words, they didn't have eternal life. And this guy was a Christian, but he didn't have eternal life. Because he wasn't walking in faith. And he wasn't putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. When you walk in faith, you're able to do that, you see. He was obviously broken off as a branch, you know. But he was called, but he wasn't chosen. That's what the scripture says. Many are called, but few are chosen. All right? Okay, I want to show you one more verse. And I'm going to show you something I think may open your eyes. Well, you remember in Matthew 25, the parable of the talents, right? He gave one of them five, one of them two, and one of them one. And this was his bond servants that he gave these to. So these are definitely servants of God that this was given to. Okay? Gave them these talents, and they went forth. And you know the Lord did not return until they brought forth fruit from these talents. The five brought forth five, the two brought forth two more, and he said they were good servants. Right? But the one who hid his in the earth and didn't bring forth what God put in, or what the master gave him, he was an unprofitable servant, right? Now, verse 28 says, take ye away therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that hath the 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away. What's he talking about, hath and hath not? Everyone that hath shall more be given. He's talking about fruit. See, the guy with the five brought forth five more. He brought forth fruit of what God gave him. He said more will be given to him because he hath. But to him that hath not, that's the guy with the one who hid it in the earth, right? Even that which he hath will be taken away from him. You know that that's talking about Christians, what we've been calling Christians, right? That if they don't bring forth fruit of what God gives them, now it doesn't matter whether it's two or five. You're only responsible to bring forth what God gives you, right? But if you don't do something with what God gives you, you are responsible, you see, to do something with that. He didn't. He was called, but not chosen. Listen, the talent was taken away from the guy with the one and given it to the one with the 10. Remember that. Remember that. God took it away. At the time of the judgment, first of all, the Lord didn't come back until people manifested that fruit. When he came back, he took it away from the one that had the one talent and gave it to him that had the 10. Okay? Now look at Ezekiel 46. This is exactly what God's going to do. Because the guy with the one was a servant, but he wasn't a son. You hear what I said? He's a servant, but he's not a son. You know, a son is a servant.
Yeah.
Okay? A son has to be a servant, but a servant don't have to be a son. Stop and think about it, right? What God's hope is to adopt his servants and make them sons. That's his hope. That's what we're here for, okay? But every servant won't manifest fruit and won't become a son. See, by faith, it happened 1,900 years ago. Manifestly, it's when you manifest Christ. 30, 60, or 100-fold
fruit.
Here on this earth. Yes, on this earth, yeah. But it's fully manifested. Let me say this now. It's fully manifested when he gives you the new body. But in spirit and in soul, it's manifested while you're on this earth, okay? Okay, now, Ezekiel 46 and verse 16. Look at this. I'm going to show you there's a difference of reward because every servant will not be a son. They're called, but they won't be chosen, okay? Ezekiel 46 and 16. Thus saith the Lord, if the prince, and by the way, the prince was the high priest in the Old Testament. He's also our high priest, which is Jesus Christ, okay? if the prince give a gift unto any of his sons, it's his inheritance. It shall belong to his sons. It's their possession by inheritance. But if he give of his inheritance a gift to one of his servants, it shall be his to the year of liberty. You know what? When is the year of liberty? Marriage feast. Remember what the year of liberty was to the Jews. It was when the land went back to the original owner. It was when the land went back to the original owner and when the servants were set free. Those that were in bondage were set free. See? We're coming to a year like that. This land is going back to the original owner. All this earth is going back to the original owner, and the servants are going to be set free. That's the servants of God. They're going to be set free. Okay? Now, listen, if he gives this gift to a servant, he's going to keep it only until the year of liberty. And then it shall return to the prince. But as for his inheritance, it shall be for his sons. See? He's going to take the talent away from the guy that has the one, and he's going to give it to his sons. That's the people with that's the one with the five. See? The one with the two. They get the inheritance of all the other servants who did not manifest Christ, who did not walk in faith. They're going to get the inheritance of all the rest of them. They are sons. They get the whole inheritance. Okay? So let me read on. It says, but as for his inheritance, it shall be for his son. Moreover, the prince shall not take of the people's inheritance to trust them out of their possession. He shall give inheritance to his sons out of his own possession. And that's true. We are joint heirs with Christ, you see. We are joint heirs. We get the same inheritance he gets. Do you understand that? Okay? That my people be not scattered, every man from his possession. So, what God says he's going to do, he's going to do. A person who doesn't manifest fruit, which is given, by the way, by the Lord, at the very beginning, before he left, he gave these talents. Okay? He's not going to return until it's manifested in his sons. When he returns, the servants who have not manifested, their gift is going to be taken away from them and given to the sons. So there's a difference of reward for what we've loosely called Christians. First of all, there was the two talents and the five talents. That's the difference right there. Both of those people brought forth all that they could bring forth. And that is what God put in. They brought forth everything they could bring forth, and that was what God put in. See, God's given you knowledge and understanding, and he's going to hold you responsible to do something with that. Everything that God gives you, to whom much is given, much is expected. If he gives you something, he expects you to do something with it. It's not a heavy burden that he puts upon you. He said his burden was light. It's not a heavy burden. Because knowledge is the way to fruit. If you don't understand what to set your faith on, you certainly can't have it. You know, knowledge is God's way. Seeing that his divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through knowledge. So you have to know this so you can reach out for it, right? Suppose the guy with five had more knowledge and more understanding than the guy with the two. See? But there's still a difference of reward. And certainly there's a difference of reward between the two and the one.
Yeah.
Big difference. Big difference. No, there's really no excuse. Some people are going to use the excuse, well, they didn't teach me. The preachers lied to me or what. But Jesus said, look, if you're willing to do the will of the Father, you're going to know the teaching. Nobody can stop you from getting the truth. If you really want to know God, nobody can stop you. God will make sure that you get the truth, okay? Okay, Proverbs 2, just a few more verses. Proverbs 2 and verse 21. Now remember, the guy that didn't have the wedding garment on, he came to the marriage feast, but he didn't get to stay. Okay? Verse 21 says, the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. Remain in it. They will remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the land, and the treacherous shall be rooted out of it. God gave you a revelation here recently. When you read from 16 on down, you can see that God's talking about the harlot, Babylon. It's the woman that forsook the friend of her youth, which is Jesus Christ, and forgot the covenant of her God. And her house inclineth unto death. And then he goes on to warn these people. He says, for the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the land. Isaiah 65, verse 8. Why is it important to look at this? Well, I'll tell you what, it motivates you, doesn't it? Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the apostate people of God. He said, in the midst of there's something good. That's why he said he's not going to do it. He said, and I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob. And out of Jacob an inheritor of my mountains. And my chosen shall inherit it. My servants shall dwell there. Notice that. He says, my chosen, not the call, but the chosen. That's the word elect, okay? Shall inherit it. My servants shall dwell there. And Sharon shall be a fold of flocks and a valley of Achor, a place for herds to lie down in. That's troubling. That's tribulation right there. Achor, that's what it represents. Troubling or tribulation. For my people that have sought me. But you that forsake the Lord, that forget my holy mountain, that's his kingdom, right? That prepare a table for fortune, in other words, you lusting after the things of the world, and paying attention to the things of the world, and that fill up with mingled wine unto destiny, I will destine you to the sword. You shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, you did not answer. And when I spake, you did not hear me, but you did that which was evil in mine eyes, and chose that wherein I delighted not. That verse right there, brother, got that verse about when God asked him, or when he asked God, Lord, what's going to happen to the carnal Christian? And God gave him that verse right there, a friend of mine. I'll tell you another thing that makes me see this. Look in verse 20. It says, and this is after verse 17, which says, a new heavens and a new earth. So God's created a new heavens and a new earth. Now verse 20 says, there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, and the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. The child and the sinner, the child and the servant, right? Bond servant of sin, right? See? The child is the same. That's somebody who is not entered into sonship, either through faith or through manifestation. He has not entered into sonship, okay? And he says 100 years old. And I thought, this thought's going to be, 100 is a tenth of the millennium. A tenth of the thousand, you see. And you know, there's a lot of people that are under the law. They're just doing business with God. That's all they're doing. They're doing business with God like the Old Testament. I'll give God my 10%. But you know, he said, if you seek to be justified by the law, you cut off from grace. See, we're free from the law. We are free to follow the Spirit. We will surpass anything that the law says. See? Remember that the guy with the wedding garment was in the wedding feast. He got to stay for a little while. But then he was cast out. That's what this is talking about right here. That's what I think it's talking about right here.
He got to heaven?
Got into the millennium, the marriage feast in the millennium, and was cast out. Well, he will not be able to stay in the marriage feast. He'll be cast forth out into outer darkness. You remember the New Jerusalem? He that maketh the lie and so on and so forth wouldn't be able to enter into the city. Right? he that loveth and maketh a lie, and he gave a bunch of things there. But these people wouldn't be able to enter into the city. They were cast forth from the city. You see, at least you can see a difference of reward, right? A difference of reward of those that do serve God, and a difference of reward of those that profess to serve God but don't serve God. Okay? You know, God's going to separate the sheep because, well, first of all, everybody's judged who hadn't believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. They're already judged. But the judgment is going to be in the separating. The separating is happening right now. I mean, he said, gather into bundles, right? But bring the wheat into my garner. We are entering into the kingdom right now. That is separating the sheep from the goats. Well, we've been we've been studying sonship and what it is to to manifest sonship. We know that we are sons of God through faith, but that the Bible also teaches that now we are the children of God. In the original, that's what it says, the technon of God and not the huios of God. We're the children of God. And it's not yet made manifest what we shall be, but we know that if he shall be manifested in us, we shall be like him. For we shall see him even as he is. And that's what we want. Everybody that has this hope on him purifieth himself, the Bible says, even as he is pure. Boy, that's a promise, isn't it? You know, the Lord commanded us, be ye therefore perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Would have been kind of ludicrous for him to make a command like that if he hadn't given us the power to bring it to pass. What Jesus did on the cross is, it is finished, he said, you know. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. We're so privileged just to enter in by faith to what Jesus has already done. The Bible says the works were finished from the foundation of the world. The only thing that remains is for us to enter into those works through faith, you know. All we've got to do is put our trust in God. What must we do the works of God? Jesus' disciples asked him, he said, believe on him whom he has sent. And that's the gospel. We just have to believe that what Jesus accomplished on the cross is ours. It's our gift. And I tell you, that covers it all, doesn't it? And what he bought and paid for is that we would be sons of God. Not just sons by faith, but sons by manifestation. And you know, we've studied the progressive salvation of the soul that the Bible teaches about, that you're being saved in your soul through your obedience to the truth, Peter said, and sanctification, you know. And all this is talking about the same thing. It's just looking at the same picture over and over and over again. God said it in so many ways that we've got to catch on somehow, you know. I mean, he said it in so many ways that, that no matter which area you're coming, which direction you're coming from, you're bound to catch on to the message. The gospel has been repeated over and over and over and over in the scriptures in so many different ways. And what we've been studying is, what is it to manifest sonship? You have to be able to see something before you can have it, right? You know, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 3:18, that we behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and are transformed into that image from glory to glory. You've got to be able to see your goal in the mirror first. If you can't see it, you sure can't exercise faith in it. And so, if you can see in the scriptures what it is that God has provided for you, and you can reach out your faith to it, then you will manifest what Jesus paid for you to manifest. And that is sonship. God is, Jesus is the progenitor of a new creation, and that is the sons of God. And it shouldn't be mixed up with the erroneous sons of God movement or the erroneous manifest sons movement or any of that. But as long as we stick to the scripture, you know, and as long as we don't add to or don't take away from the word, nobody should mix us up with those groups, right? So where do we start? Well, you know, first of all, the Bible says in Proverbs 29:21 that he that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become a son at the last. And all through the scriptures we see this parallel with the traditions of the Greeks, the Hebrews, and the Romans. They had a tradition of adopting their servants and making them sons. Ben-Hur was a good example of that. You read, either read or saw the story of Ben-Hur, and he was adopted by a Roman leader in the government. And through his inheritance, he gained the power and authority that he wanted, you know. And God's doing this. God has used the traditions of the cultures, or else he created the traditions of those cultures, so that we would understand what he was saying when he said he adopted servants. And he adopted his children and made them sons, you know. And we've come to see that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We can see where we are, right? But you've also got to see where you are going. You got to see where you are. You know, the Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and it's a light unto my pathway." It shows you where you are, and it shows you where you're going, you know? Without it showing you where you're going, you've got nothing to exercise faith in. And God has showed us, is showing us from the scriptures where we're going. And when you see Jesus in the mirror, which is what the Bible commands us to do, and most of the church says, no, that's not possible, but that's what the Bible commands us to do anyway, whether they like it or believe it or not. It's God's method. It's the good news, you know. It is the gospel that we are to accept from the beginning everything that God has provided for us, not wait until we see it. Because if you think you're going to wait until you see it, you'll never get it. It doesn't come that way. You have to accept the whole thing from the beginning. That's why we say we are saved. And people don't realize when they say that what they're saying. They don't realize that when they say they're saved, what that word saved incorporates. It incorporates total deliverance from the curse of sin and of death. That's what the word saved means, soteria. Total deliverance. So when people say that they are saved, they're saying a word by faith. If they think that they're saying a word that's manifest, they're deceived. See, people that believe that they are saved by manifestation, that's deception. Because then you've got no reason to walk it out. Walk out your own salvation. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We are saved, but we're working out our salvation. We were baptized, but as we let the water of the Word put to death the old man, that baptism is manifest in our life as we walk on with God. So baptism is an act of faith. You know, if we see that God's given us a goal, and God's given us that goal through faith in Jesus Christ, and we accept it as a free gift, and we keep on confessing it in the face of trials and troubles and tribulations, we will see the manifestation of sonship in us. It'll be just as automatic as planting a seed in the ground and that thing coming up, bearing, you know, fruit, bearing a plant, bearing fruit. It's just natural. God's seeds are natural too. If you plant them in good soil, they're going to come up, they're going to bear fruit. You don't have to struggle. You've never seen a plant struggle. It just comes natural. And that's God's work too. But the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. What is it that keeps us from being led by the Spirit? Well, you know, in Galatians chapter 4, it talks about as long as the heir is a child, he differs nothing from a bondservant. Even though in actuality, he's really Lord of all. But he's just like a servant as long as he's a child. And he that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become a son at the last. See, the manifestation of sonship is coming in the life of people who will give up being children or give up being servants. One thing it said in Galatians chapter 4 about servants or children is that they're in bondage to the rudiments or the principles of the world. What makes us in bondage to the rudiments or principles of the world? What is it that causes us to stay in bondage and not bear fruit to the rudiments or principles of the world? Well, The biggest thing is walking by sight and walking by hearing and walking by sin and walking by feelings. Walking by the carnal senses keeps us in bondage to the flesh, to the devil, to the world. A son of God must give up walking by sight and start walking by the sight that God gave him. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, is that babes, the Bible says, I'll tell you what, turn there. That's in Hebrews 5 and verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard of interpretation, seeing that you've become dull of hearing. When by reason of the time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God. Now, we talked about two things here now. We're talking about the rudiments or first principles of the world in Galatians chapter 4. Now he's talking about the rudiments and the first principles of God. But what I want to show you is you can't stay in either one. We need the rudiments of the first principles of God, but we cannot stay there if we're going to bear fruit. Okay? Babes, that's where they are. They're in these rudiments, these first principles of God. But you know what? They're without experience of the word of righteousness, the Bible says. Let's read on. It says, and are become such as have need of milk and not of solid food. For everyone that partaketh of milk is without experience of the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. But solid food is for full-grown men, or perfect men, it's the same word. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Babes are not experienced in the word of righteousness because they don't have their senses exercised to discern good from evil. Babes speak what comes to their mind. And what comes to their mind is a process of putting together what comes through their natural senses. You understand what I'm talking about? So knowledge is a knowledge that comes through natural senses and not a knowledge of what Jesus spoke about. Because Jesus said, to him that has ears to hear and to him that has eyes to see. And they all had eyes and ears. But he wasn't talking about those eyes and ears. Okay? So Jesus was talking about the people who received his word would be people who had spiritual eyes and ears. And a babe in the Lord, they walk according to the first principles of the Lord. But you know, the first principles of the Lord, they're not the word, according to this, they are not the experience of the word of righteousness. Because you can't experience the word of righteousness if you walk after your carnal mind. And your carnal mind receives its influence from the assimilation of your natural senses. See, people who walk after the natural senses, they can't walk by faith, can they? It's not possible. They can't see the wonderful works of God. It's not possible. They'll never see the manifestation of Jesus if they don't walk by faith. It's just not possible. All of God's methods are through faith. All of them are manifested through faith. Faith must be in every area of our life. I've seen people where they talk in faith in one area, but they left it off in so many others. But faith must be in every area of our life because faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And so babes many times do a warfare that's a carnal warfare. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, hold your finger there, we'll come back to Hebrews, but it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. So you can't accomplish this warfare that must be accomplished with your carnal senses. It can't be done. You're fighting an enemy that's unseen, and you have to fight him with unseen words. Did you know that? We have to call the things that be not as though they were. You know that the things that are made are not made according to Hebrews 11 and 1, 2, and 3. They're not made out of things which do appear. Things which are seen aren't made out of things which do appear. They were made out of faith. Sonship is made out of faith. The things that sons want is made out of faith. But you can't war in the flesh, meaning you can't war with the natural senses either. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, or they're not carnal, but mighty before God to the casting down of strongholds, casting down of reasonings or imaginations. I don't know which one your Bible has, but it's the same thing. Where do reasonings come from? Reasonings are an assimilation of your natural senses. That's where reasonings come from. Imaginations come from that. Okay? But the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're commanded to repent. We have to repent. The world don't have to repent. We've got to repent. And repent is the word metanoeo. It means change your mind. We must change our mind. We must not receive into our mind what is put there by the carnal senses. We have to put there what is put there by the spiritual senses. By the hearing of God, by the seeing of God, by the scent of God, by the feeling of God. It must be put there. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If we're going to be transformed, we've got to repent. We've got to change our mind. And repentance is not crying, and repentance is not going to an altar. Repentance is changing your mind. It's something we all must do if there's any hope to have a manifestation of Christ in you. I don't say this to make anybody fear, because sons of God are first of all sons of God through faith. You have to have it through faith before you can have manifestation. Okay? And you know that faith is accounted as righteousness? See, there are people that have preached about the manifestation of sonship, but they leave one thing off, the grace of God, because the Bible says faith is accounted as righteousness. See, nobody has to fear, because faith is accounted as righteousness. Until righteousness is manifest in you, faith stands in its place. By faith, we are sons of God now. What we're doing is we're studying to know what a son of God looks like, so that when we look in that mirror, we can be transformed into the same image. Be careful that the Jesus in your mirror is the Jesus of the Bible, because Paul warned us about those that received another gospel, another spirit, and another Jesus. So our Jesus has got to look just like this Jesus. If not, you'll be transformed. I see it happening all the time. You see it too. People being transformed into a Jesus that is not the Jesus of the Bible. That's not the sonship of the Bible either. And many times what's at fault here is people are somewhere in between assimilating their natural senses and their spiritual senses. We've got to learn to see the way God teaches us to see. Let me give you an example in the Word about Jesus in John chapter... I'll still go back to Hebrews. So you have to know what you're saying. John chapter 5 and verse 19. Now, I'm sure that when we read this, a lot of people say, well, yeah, that was just Jesus. No. Jesus was what the Bible called the sign son or the pattern son. He came and he did everything. When he was baptized, he said, thus it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. He came to be an example. He taught his disciples to do what he did. The Bible tells us that in 1 John it says, let us walk as he walked. You know, so I mean, obviously it's possible, right? And so what we've got to learn from Jesus' example is that's the way he wants us to walk, right? John 5 and 19 says, Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. Now you know something? This is the rest of God. This is the Sabbath of God. There is a Sabbath. There remaineth therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God. You know what it is? He said, cease from your works. Hebrews chapter 3. It also says, he who hath believed hath entered in to that rest. That Sabbath rest. If you believe the Word of God, it's going to cause you to cease from your own struggling, cease from your own works, cease from trying to be a son of God, and instead accept sonship is your gift, you see. Cease from trying to heal yourself and instead accept that by His stripes you were healed. See, the Word of God is designed so that when we believe it, if we really do believe it, we have to stop. If it says that by His stripes you were healed, and you believe that, then you have to stop. You have to stop trying to heal yourself. You have to stop struggling to go to all the different healers. You have to stop. You know why? Because it says you were healed. If you believe that, then you are healed. All the rest of the Bible is designed the same way. It's designed in the past tense. We have been made free from sin. See, you should never be anxious about your sin. Because the Bible says you've been made free from sin. You have been made free from the power of darkness. See, why is it always past tense? It's past tense so that when you believe it, you can enter into the rest. You automatically have to cease from all of your self-works. See? And it's a privilege to do that. This is not a law. This is a privilege. It's different, you see. This is our opportunity to keep a New Testament Sabbath unto the Lord, ceasing from our own works, okay? Jesus did that. You know what He said? He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself." And He said, "the Son." That was strange. The Son. You know why? Because He wasn't just talking about Himself. The Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father doing. What He seeth the Father doing. You think He saw visions of everything? I don't think so. You think He saw visions of everything He was about to do? I don't think so. He had a vision, all right. He had a vision of what the Father was doing. As a matter of fact, I've looked at a few places where I thought that Jesus got His vision from. From one place, He got it from Isaiah 61. You ever read the prophecy in Isaiah 61 about the anointing? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to opening the prison to them that are bound, to, you know, so on and so forth. Acceptable year of the Lord. Well, He had a vision. He knew, He saw what the Father's attitude to mankind was, to those who accepted His word was. He knew it. He saw it. He knew His responsibility, and He knew His ability. What we've got to do is get a vision of where does my responsibility start, where does my ability start. You know something? It's big. It's real big. We, you know, whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth is loose in heaven. Jesus meant that. He meant it. We are the ones that are loosing what's coming into our life. We sow a seed that brings forth a harvest in our life. We're doing that right now. We're creating our tomorrow right now. The Bible says it. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loose in heaven. We both, and I say this too, we bind both the devil and we bind God. Because God will not go beyond His word. He has said, well, a good example of that is when Jesus went to His own hometown. He could not do many mighty works because of their unbelief. They had bound God. By our faith, we loose God and we bind the devil. By our unbelief, we loose the devil and we bind God. And so, listen, we have a lot to do with our future. And Jesus did those things that He saw of His Father. He knew what His Father, He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Not because they were one and the same. Believe me, I went through that era before. But because He was the express image of the Father. What He believed, the Father believed. What He said, the Father said. You know what? The Bible gives us only permission, by the way. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. Whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what that means? It means we can do what we do to represent Him. We can't do anything to represent us. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In word or in deed, do it in the name of Jesus Christ. That is ceasing from your works. That is accepting a death to self so that it's no longer I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. And this is what we must accept. It's a radical death to self walk. But it's one, you know, I heard some people, some groups preach, you must die to self, you must die to self, you must crucify, you know, all this, you must. But they're starting on a totally wrong end of the stick. You have been crucified with Christ. You see? We are privileged to have been crucified with Christ. He said, reckon yourself to be dead. If you don't do that, you won't be able to do the other. If you don't reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, if you don't believe that he bore your sins, past, present, and future, he took them all to the cross. If you don't believe that, they'll never go away. And Jesus said that he only did those things that he saw of his Father. Now, what we've got to do is learn to do the same thing. Do the things that we see of our Father. If you see them from the world, that's not a good enough reason to copy it. You know, if you see it in religion, that's certainly not a good enough reason to copy it, you know. But we've got to do those things that we see our Father doing. Because he put these in here for an example to us. He will do them. He will honor his word. These the Son doeth in like manner. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And you know what? The same is still true for us. And greater works than these will he show him, that you may marvel. And he said also, greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto the Father. So you know he's still talking to them. Okay? Listen. For as the Father raises the dead and giveth them life, even so the Son also giveth life to whom he will. Watch. Carefully. Says, for neither doth the Father judge any man, but he hath given all judgment unto the Son. By the way, I don't know if you've ever read it or not, John chapter 20. Whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. Whoever sins you remit, they're remitted. You mean God gave that authority to men? Yeah, the Pharisees rebuked Jesus because he had that authority. But he passed that on to his disciples. We'll talk about that some other time. But you see, he's given authority to the sons of men. For neither doth the Father judge any man, but he hath given all judgment unto the Son, that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father that sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, there's your hearing, seeing and hearing, right? He that heareth my word, and believeth him that sent me, hath eternal life, and cometh not into judgment, but hath passed out of death and into life. How do we pass out of death and into life? Hearing the word. We've got to hear the word. In circumstances and situations that come against us, in the midst of that, we have to hear the word. We have to hear the word. If you will hear the word, you won't hear the flesh. You won't hear the devil if you'll hear the word. And he says that through hearing the word, you pass out of death and into life. Now that's a spiritual resurrection from the dead, isn't it? Out of death and into life. We are being resurrected from the dead. We were dead, right? And all around us are dead. Okay? With that in mind, the next verse says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour cometh, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. What do you think he's talking about there? I think he's talking about not a physical resurrection of the dead, but a spiritual one, the one he was just talking about. Passing out of death and into life because you hear the word. When they hear the voice of the Son of God, they'll come up out of their graves. When we hear the voice of the Son of God, we come up out of our graves. We come into resurrection life. It's just the voice. It's the word. It's the seed, the sown, that brings forth the fruit. The seed has all the power it needs to bring forth the fruit. All it needs is good earth. And we're pretty good dirt, I think, you know, for God to sow his seed in. But that's about all we are, is dirt in the natural man. Now he goes on to talk about, I think, the physical resurrection of the dead. He says, for as the Father hath life in himself, even so he gave the Son also to have life in himself. He gave him authority to execute judgment, because he is a son of man. Notice he has to be a son of man in order to have the authority to execute judgment. Because the Father gave this authority to the Son because the Son came down here in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, overcame sin in the flesh. That's what gave him the authority to judge. Because he's been there. You know why we, the old man, can't judge? Because the old man is the one that's done all the sin in the first place. You know, he's guilty. And that you, Romans chapter 2, in that you judge others, you judge yourself. Who art thou, O man, that judges? In that you judge others, you judge yourself. So the old man has no authority to judge. But the spiritual man in us has every authority to judge. He judges all things, and he's judged of no man. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says. The spiritual man. Because he has the mind of God. Listen to what it says. It says, marvel not. For the hour cometh in which all that are in the tombs shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment. That's talking about the physical. You know who's going to be resurrected to life? Those that have been resurrected spiritually in this life. That's what we're here for, is to come into resurrection life. And that's what the resurrection is for. I, you know, I...